If you turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18. Today I have a very intriguing message. We're going to talk about mind games and manipulating games. I'm going to grab my stuff here, and I'm sorry I'm out of the camera, but bear with me because I forgot my stuff. But anyway, it's one of those messages that you don't really think about it or try to pick and choose. It just, you get to it and you go, wow, it's here. So, the danger of mind games. The danger of mind games. And look what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 17. Verse 17 and 18. And Paul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife, only if thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battle. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son and law of the king?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Lord, let it help us as we look at this passage of Scripture. It is a sobering message, Lord, and teach me as I teach. I need to hear this as well. And Lord, give me a heart that I can hear. I need to hear this message myself, even though I'm going to deliver the message. And I pray, Father, for every heart here tonight, that we would listen, take to mind and the heart. And those who are following us on social media as well, may they stop, may they listen, may they take God's word at face value tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was going to say maybe seated, but today's not Sunday. Today is a Wednesday night, and we're already sitting anyway. So, for the sake of introduction, we see this here, the danger of mind games. Now, through the years, even to this very time, it is something that is very dangerous, okay? It's playing mind games with people, manipulating people with words because we have an agenda. You follow that? Some people have agendas in their minds, have plans, preconceived plans. They want to do something. And they indirectly, with smooth, kind, loving words, they manipulate the minds of others to get what they want. Well, we see this picture right here with Saul. The Bible says Saul was afraid of David, but Saul began to scheme David, try to get something out of there so he could kill David. What is interesting, mind games. Listen, folks, I witness this all the time, and I believe you do the same. People play mind games. They play those mind games too because they want to gain something. And I'm old enough and tell you, and I can tell you enough, I see through the years many, many people that do this. I work with people, they're very good on doing this. And when they get caught, I say, do you know what they say? Oh, we're just spreading a rumor. I said, no, you already hurt people. You already hurt people. You know what they say? Oh, it was not that bad. It is bad. It is bad. So we are continuing our journey to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18 right now, of course, verse 17 to 30. We have a lot to say about mind games and manipulating or manipulation and deceit. We actually continue to see the decline of a king here, which is King Saul. Last week we looked at the sin of jealousy. Remember last week we talked about jealousy. And we went a little bit on that and how harmful jealousy can be in our lives. Talk about that last week. Tonight we look at mind games. Mind games is something that many people like to play. Mind games. And always try to play their favor. When people play mind games with you, they're trying to play games that go on their favor. They manipulate the minds of others indirectly for the people to fall on their lap, so to speak. There's many people like that in our world. So, I hate to say it, but some of us, I'm not saying here in the church, but some of us, I'm generally speaking, are experts on this type of area. Some of us are masters of manipulating, experts of working the system, pulling people's strings, operating behind the scenes, basically getting our own way. I tell you this, when I was a teenager, so you understand where I was before I got saved, I loved to play mind games with my mother. I was a master at it. And my poor mother fell on my mind games a lot of times. I manipulated her, and I was good at it. When I got old and I got married, I had to go ask my mother to forgive me. And boy, she didn't even remember half of it. But I did that, and I did good. And from learning that, of course, I got saved, I got married, I got saved, and the Lord, you know, helped me along the way. But I sit back today, and I observe more because maybe because I'm a pastor, or maybe because I'm more into God's word, or I read God's word, and the Lord working in my life. And I'm not just saying here in the church, but everywhere I go, the Lord put something after I got saved in my heart. Is this something that I didn't have before? Is to observe people, to listen more, and to observe people. So I see it. I see it in everyday life. I see it in at work. I see it even amongst my family. I see it. And you just, you know, sometimes it's not your place. You want to say something. Sometimes you sit back, and you know, sometimes you don't know what to say. But let me tell you, some of us are experts on that, on playing mind games, of course, to have our own way. So, folks, I see this daily, like I said, in a workplace where I work. I see master manipulators at the workplace who play those mind games to get what they want. I see people when they want to get ahead, they want to get a certain position, the mind games they play, the things that they do to get what they want. I've seen many times. Listen, I was an administrator. I ran a company. I ran my dad's business. I saw that happen many times. I called one time one, try to manipulate things just to get me out of that position. I go like this. I was doing this job here, and is my superior above me, they're talking, and this guy, they're talking, which want to take that job away. And I just kind of walked. I didn't purposely sneak on them. That's not me. I just kind of walked. They were so into it that I didn't realize. I just approached them and stood right behind, almost like beside them. And this guy right here was saying all kinds of things about me. And I just stood there. Oh, it was my name. Might as well just stay there and listen. I was like, wow, I didn't know I was that bad of a person. So I'm listening. After a good 10, 15, I mean, I was there the whole time. And when the guy looks at me and noticed me, he almost passed out. And a superior, which is above me, of course, I'm an administrator. This guy's ahead, above me, looks at me, and his face get paled like a paper. And I said, well, I'm here to defend myself. I said, can I defend myself? Well, the other one walking didn't know what to do with himself. And I said to the administrator, did you believe everything he said is true? I said, let me give you the facts. So we went to the office. It's like, can we call the guy up? You know what I did? I went after the guy and told him, listen, I have nothing against you. That's fine. I forgive you and I move on. But don't do that again. That is low and that is bad. You tried to destroy me. And that was not nice what you were doing. And he didn't even try to defend himself because he was so guilty. It came out of his mouth. So how many times you have the opportunity actually to be there when somebody is playing mind games with somebody else to gain something or to gain your job or to gain something else, and you there even to say, hey, I'm here. What in the world are you talking about? I mean, I was the Lord. I tell you what, I didn't plan to go. It just happened. I seen him in the distance. I had no idea what was going on, but it was wonderful. The Lord just, he gave me a lot of grace too. Somebody would say, act differently, I would say, but the Lord gave me a lot of grace to just to be at ease and just talk, rationalize, and communicate with my superior. And after that, get out of the office and go look after the guy and actually say to him, you know, it's okay. I have no animosity towards you, no anger. It's okay. I forget about it. You just don't do it again. In my younger days, it probably wouldn't work that way, but it was. I'm looking back and say, wow, I don't even know how I did it. Because naturally, what we want to do, we want to say, I'm going to get even with you. But anyway, mind games, is they are massive manipulators out there. So now, mind games and manipulation together with deceit is something familiar to all of us here tonight. You've either been victimized by someone who is like that, or you're just one of the ones that does it to others. And I hope nobody here is like that, or nobody on social media is like that. In other words, some of us are really good, and I'm generalizing here, on being bad. Some people are really good on being bad. They're just good at it. They can say a lie, they can manipulate, and it seems like they get away with it. Ain't nobody even noticed. In fact, we kind of, sometimes those kind of people kind of like it when they manipulate the minds of others, when they get away with things. But deep inside, we know it's wrong, isn't it? And let me tell you, we can deceive people, we can manipulate people. There's one thing we cannot do. We cannot manipulate God, and we cannot deceive God. He knows, and He has a way to bring things to the light of day. And right here, we're going to see a manipulator, one that was the recipient of his manipulation, and God behind the scenes saying, you know what? You're not going to do this. You're not going to get away with this. So, the Bible tells us that Saul is afraid of David because the Lord is with David, and Saul was left out, of course. So Saul uses the old trick. He tries to manipulate the situation in various ways in order to get rid of David. As we look at Saul's dealing with David tonight, we will also take a close look at ourselves and our own deceits. Do I try to deceive people? Am I a manipulator? Am I a master manipulator? Oh, I've been wronged by others. Who manipulated me? Who used me in my name for their own games? So it is never right, let me tell you this, to manipulate anyone's mind. Is never right to play mind games purposely deceiving other people. No matter even if you were playing games, because people take you serious. It is never right to manipulate people. So let's look here at several from 3 points tonight about this mind game, about this the danger of mind games. I tell you what, it's like you ever see those movies on which the guy is so nice, he tries all these things, and he's smooth talking, and he does all these things on the surface, and people don't even suspect anything of that person. And the way they have him is a person of integrity and character, a good person. There's a lot of good for people, and behind the scenes is wickedness and evil. You ever see those type of movies? When it comes to the light, it goes, oh, wow, I didn't know that person was like. It keeps you like looking at it. I cannot believe this person was like that. I've seen many movies like that. But anyway, let's look at this. From 3 points on it. Number one, we see debate. In verse 17 to verse 19, as we look at this passage, we discover that Saul, like I said, is afraid of David because God is with David. And everything that David does, he prospers. Saul knows that his days as a king is counted, of course. So it is with his evil mind that he comes with the plan to get rid of David. So here's what Saul right here. He's going to play the nice guy. He's going to play the guy that seems to care or shows to the world or the people around him that he cares about David. But behind the scenes, he's trying to play this master plan for what? So David can be killed. It says right in the verse that we read. Go back to the verse. Look what it says there in the beginning. Look what it says let's see verse 17. And Saul said unto David, behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give to thee to wife, That's the second time he offers this woman to wife to him, by the way. Only be thou villain, whatever the word is, for me, and fight the Lord's battle. Look what it says. For Saul said, look what it says, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. You see the game here? He's playing a game. In a game here, he puts the bait out. The bait is the daughter. All right? He offers the daughter, this is the second time, offers the daughter to him to wife. She is the bait. Oh, you're going to be my son-in-law. I love you. See, I want to give you my daughter. You're just going to do what I tell you, and I give you my daughter. But that's the bait. You know why? He wants him to go in the front lines and be killed. So you have to say, I didn't kill her with my hands, but years later, and there's no what David does because of Bathsheba. David didn't kill Bathsheba's husband, but David put him right in the front lines to be killed. And the prophet Gad said to him, you are the man, you are guilty. You the one who made all this mind game plan. You put him in the position he could die. See, David is in the same predicament right here. Is what happens here. But David, God is with him. So, we see. So, do you see Saul's evil plan here? He tries to kill David, but he can't. So, he comes with this evil plan in his mind to give David to the enemy so he can kill David, not kill David with his hand, so the enemy will kill him. So the plan is to kill David. The plan to kill David is born in Saul's mind. And you can see when you begin to think that way, your mind is full of wickedness and evil. When we begin to make plans to terminate somebody's life, that's not of God. When we make plans in our mind to destroy somebody's character and somebody's integrity, to totally destroy that person, that's wickedness. All right. How many people in that you hear even in history, or even famous people, that have been wrong accused, their names have been destroyed? How many people that you know that happened, and in the end, they've been found innocent? Now go try to take that name out of the mud. Sometimes, you know, those mind games, those wicked and evil plans can cause us to destroy somebody's name. And that name would be marred forever. So, we see the bait. Letter A, or number one, we see an enticing offer. Look at verse 17. We already read those verses in verse 18. Look at verse 19. But it came to pass at the time when Merad, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, what a big name. Brother, can you spell that for me? Meholatite, there he goes, Meholatite. I had a hard time with that one, the Meholatite. So it came to pass that at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Meholatite, to wife. So, here's the thing right here. Interesting. So, it's an enticing offer. If you look before, let's look at verse 17. Verse 18. And David said unto Saul, who am I? Who am I? And what is my wife, my life, and my father's family in Israel, that I should be the son-in-law of the king? So Saul offers David a very enticing offer here. He offers David his daughter to marriage. He offers many men would not refuse. Think about it. He's the king. He's offering his daughter to marry a nobody, so to speak, a shepherd boy, a nobody. And he tell you what, David, the Lord is working in David, and look at David's answer to that offer. It says, who am I? He looks to him and said, who am I? And what is my life? And oh, it was my father's family in Israel. And so who's my family? My family is nothing. My family is just shepherd people. Who am I to think that I'm going to marry the king's daughter? You see, it's the bait. Is the words. David toe about it and said, I don't want it. Is it an enticing offer? Yes, it is. It is a very enticing offer because many men would not refuse that. Think about it. I'm going from a shepherd to go sit in a palace. I'm going from eating dry bread to eat meat and steak and beef. You know, but David refused the offer. So do you see the bait being launched here? Do you see the evil plan behind Saul's offer to David here? We are going to be looking at, in some ways right here, as that we can practice manipulation in our lives as well. And one of those ways is when we backtrack in our promises. When we backtrack, we promise something, and when the promise come about, guess what? We backtrack it. What happened here? This is the second time this man promised this woman to David. And you know what? This is the second time, because what he does when David refuses, he grabs his daughter and gives to somebody else to wife. Obviously, we can see that he's playing mind games because he doesn't love David at all. He's just trying to entice him to put a bait so David can fall into the trap, because his game is for David to be killed. So it is interesting, right? So let's look at number one right here. Backtracking on your promises. Backtracking on your promise. And look what it says in here. We already read this in verse 17. But let's look again. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her and I will give thee to wife, only if thou be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battle. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. So like I said, Saul had promised his daughter in marriage to anyone who defeated Goliath. Remember that? He said that he would give his daughter to marriage for whoever defeated Goliath. Now, class, who defeated Goliath? David. Why she was not given to David to marriage? This is the second offer. Isn't that interesting? And he offered to him a second time. And David says to him, hey, I can't do this. So this guy backpedals right here. So it sounds good at first, but notice Saul has added some new additions to the deal. The original agreement was whosoever defeats Goliath in battle gets my daughter to marriage. Now Saul is adding more conditions. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me bravely and fight the battles for the Lord. So now first was about defeating Goliath. Now he puts new things to it, or new elements to it, or new ingredients to whatever you want to say it. So because he literally doesn't really want to give his daughter to marriage. He's just putting you as a bait to get to David. So, has anyone ever done this to you before? We call this false promises, don't we? Like you promise, but you never really fall true on your promises. And we sometimes we promise things, and when we confronted with the promise, we backpedal, or we put more things on it. You see, every time you meet one conditions that we add another to it, and they keep rising. We keep rising the bar. Well, that's a form of manipulation or manipulating somebody. I'll give you a story. We were going to play a soccer game. We had a soccer tournament. I was a teenager. A soccer tournament, and we show up at the field to play the tournament. It was 5-on-5. It was a small field with 5-on-5. We got there. My cousin Robert playing in the other team. Our team was better than their team. But that was that day we were in the league. That was the day we were confronting each other. Well, it was no ref. The ref didn't show up. Okay. My cousin Robert, which was a master manipulator, he began to tease us. Oh, let's play the game. Oh, you're going back. Oh, this. Make us feel bad. And at a point, it was like, all right, why are we going to play? The ref is not here. How are we going to even play the game? We play without ref. Okay, it keeps going. All right, let's play. We beat him. Fair and square. We finish the game, we beat them. As soon as we come out, it's not fair. It doesn't count. My cousin. What do you mean that it doesn't count? The ref was not here. We told you the ref was not here. You guys agree with it. No, I was just kidding. We have to play another game. Are you kidding me? Look, see the manipulation? It doesn't favor them, so they're going to manipulate the system until they get what they want. And, of course, we fell into it. What do you want? Oh, we got to play when the ref is here. Are you kidding? I mean, we argued back and forth. Guess who won? He did. We had to play another game. We play another game, and what happened? We beat him again. And now this time we're going, all right, what else you have to say? And he used an excuse. The ref was not just. The ref did this. The ref was that. You know what? Mind games. Mind games. So we see here backpedaling. He really puts debate. Debate was his daughter, but he really didn't want to give debate to give the daughter, because what he wanted was to kill David. Number two, shifting the blame. Shifting the blame. See, look what it says. Let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. That's verse 17. So look at the wicked mind of King Saul. He's playing a mind game with David that he will trap him. So indirectly, he offers his daughter, of course, as the bait to marriage, but the purpose of it was to get David killed. He wanted to get David in the front lines against the Philistines, and there David would be killed. And we say, I didn't do it. Oh, my son-in-law, poor guy, he got killed in the line of duty. Oh, isn't that too bad? And behind the scenes, he's going, I got him. You see, manipulation. That is playing mind games. You know what? That is wickedness at a high level. You know what, folks? It happens every day. This thing happens every day, from little kids to big kids to older people. It happens all the time. And I believe if all of us would sit and talk and have a time, I think all of us were going to testify of that. Mind games, wickedness. And I tell you, this guy, he has the bait, he has the plan, he has everything ready to go. The only thing is, God is behind the scenes and God is protecting David. You know what? He didn't win because David refused it. David refused it. See, when we shift the blame to others by the things that we want to do, we as guilty as it is. Put an example. Okay. You got three guys. They're going to decide to go rob a bank. All right? The mastermind of the whole thing says to the other guys, you guys go inside, do this. I'll be in the car looking around. Is anything happening? And the other two fellows, the silly ones that fall into the trap, they go inside and do the dirty work. And the guy says, let's for an example, something happens, the alarm comes out, here comes the police and everything, they get him, and the guy's outside, here you go, nice and free, like the other two got caught. The mind game walks away. Happens all the time. This guy is exactly what he does. Oh, I will take care of him this way, my hands are clean. You know what? Our hands are dirty. When David sent Bathsheba's husband to the front lines, when the prophet came to him and said, you are the man. It started with you. You played it in your mind. You planned the whole thing. Who's playing over here? The Philistines would kill David if he would accept. But guess what? It started with Saul. His wicked mind. He's playing mind games, manipulating, baiting, putting a bait. His own daughter as a bait because he had an interest to kill him. Let it be. We see a gentle decline. We see this in verse 18, in verse 19. I already read this verse. So fortunately, David is protected by his own humility and refuses Saul's offer. David asks, who am I? Who am I? Who's my family? Who am I even to accept such a gift? See the humbleness of David here? He goes, I can't accept this. This is too much for me. I'm a nobody. I'm just a shepherd boy. Look at my family. You're all shepherds. How am I going to sit at the table of the king when I'm a nobody? I can't accept this. Sometimes, you know, humility discovers the wickedness of others. And let me tell you, David never took God's blessings for granted. Let me tell you, this promise this promise to David was a course of a fulfillment of his offspring, Jesus, the Son of God. Of course, it comes from his bloodline. But let me tell you this. David was a man that was very sensitive to God. And he did sin. Of course he did. But let me tell you, he was a man after God's own heart. But here you can see his humility. You can see he recognized where he is, his position, and who the king is. You see, so we see number one, we see the bait. Number two, we see the game. We do this from verse 20 to verse 25. Well, so next Saul offers his young daughter. First of the first daughter didn't work. Now he's going to first offer the second daughter, Michal, here in marriage. And we see see three more examples of manipulation and deceit in this offer of marriage here. So number one, letter A, using people for our own purpose. We see this in verse 20, verse 21. Saul continues with his evil plan to try to trap David, and he continues to use his own daughters to accomplish what he wants. The question is, class, do you think Saul really loved his daughters? What kind of father used their daughters for their evil plans here? That's what he does. He's baiting David with his daughters to get to David. So, all right, I'm going to let you get married with him, so I'm going to kill him, and you'll be a widow. That's a lot of love. Can you see when our heart and our mind is full of wickedness and evil, the things that we can come up with? The evil plans that can come out of our minds. I tell you, folks, all of us are capable of that. All of us here, including me, all of us have a mind. And all of us, if we let it go, if we begin to look in the ways of sin and wickedness, we can find ourselves doing the same thing. Because all of us have a mind. So, first of all, practice manipulation and deceit. We can use people for our own purposes, and that's what we see here in Saul doing to Michal, his daughter. Look at verse 20. It says, "And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing displeased him." Pleased him. So here's something here. When they told Saul that his younger daughter loved David, it pleased him. And Saul said, "I will give him her, and she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Wherefore Saul said to David, "Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twin. So let me put it this way. Saul said, okay, the other one didn't accept it, but this one, she loves him. Oh, what a nice bait. This is the one. I'm going to get him this time. See, the wickedness, oh, okay, I lost this fight. He didn't fall for my bait this time. Guess what? When this shows up, it's like, bing. I tell you, folks, people that have a tendency to play mind games, they don't stop. They keep on going. They don't stop. They're master manipulators. They keep going. They go from one to another to another to another. You know why? Because that's what's in their mind. People do not save. They play these games. Listen, folks, I know that you know people like that. I know people like that. It's just pure wickedness. So basically, right here, uses his second daughter, his younger daughter, as a bait again. So question, does Saul even care about Michal at this point? About his daughter? I doubt it. She loves David. In marriage, her off to David, does Saul care that he's using her at all? No. He wants to kill him. Can you imagine such wickedness? This guy's playing mind games, planning to kill David, and he uses many means necessary, including his own daughters, to accomplish what he wants. And folks, that's what people do. They go out of their way to get what they want, and they step and do anything to get what they want. And in the end, well, if they accomplish what they want, they think they did and they arrived, and they'll laugh at everything because they accomplished that. Folks, this is, so can you imagine this guy? So and he used, like I said, his daughter to accomplish this thing. So folks, this was the humble man that was looking for his father's donkeys when Samuel found him. How far this man came. He was a humble guy serving as working for his father, looking for his donkeys when Samuel the prophet found him. And guess what? He is now as a king, planning and planning to kill somebody. Using people for his own purpose is a hideous crime or hideous sin. And yet another example of how to practice manipulation and deceit in our lives, using the goodness of others. When he saw that his daughter loved David, he used the opportunity to get what he wanted. Let it be. Or number two, using flattering and deceit. Just look at what it says in verse 22. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king had delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? See, look what this guy does here. He continued to use manipulative words. Now he's going to his servants and put smooth words, enticing words in their mouth and in their minds so they can go to David and talk good about the king. And the king sitting in his throne goes, haha, look, he's going to get it this time. You see the manipulation using people to get to others. Folks, it goes on the same way today. You read the news? Do you read the news? You listen to the news? You see what's going on in the news? You see the manipulation? You see how they strive to get somebody down, to get what they want? People want to go up in the scale of success, and guess what they do? They step on anybody they can. They destroy people's names just to get there. It's nothing different these days. You see, look at how Saul continues to manipulate the situation to try to get what he wants. See, often do we see people using flattering, deceiving words to get what they want. They have an agenda. Folks, when people talk like that, when people using smooth words to get what they want, they have an agenda. They know what they want. And they don't care who they destroy along the way to get right what they want. Many people like that. Hey, one thing that we and you and I can be watchful is for flattering words. There are people who use flattering words to purposely deceive you. They have an agenda, and they have a goal, and they will not stop until they accomplish that. It's people like that. And you might know people like that. You might work with people like that, but there are people like that. You see that this guy right here doesn't stop. God is helping, or behind the scenes helping David here, and guess what happens? This guy keeps going at it. Let us see, number three, we see setting traps. We see setting traps. Look what it says in verse 24. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, of this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desired not any downsry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies, but Saul thought to make David fall by the hands of the Philistines. So what he says right here, another manipulative thing. Kindly tells his servants, hey, you told him that I won 100 Philistines. You go out to battle, kill 100 of them, bring the skins. This is kind of gross thing to say here, but that's the time that they lived in. And he comes to me, and he got my daughter. You see, but interesting what's going on here. So Saul's goal is one thing, is to kill David at any cost. So he goes and continues using his wicked imagination just to get what he wants. And let me tell you, Folks, this is the problem of people like that. They keep going, they keep going, they keep going until they get what they want. And if it's obstacles, the obstacle might push them back a little bit, but soon they get the opportunity, they go at it again and they go at it again because that's what their mind is. That's what they want to do. So, setting traps. So now, Edazah decides to set a trap to get David killed. When Saul's servants told him that David had said, Saul replied, "Say to David, like I said, the king wants to offer you a prize for the bride, that 100 Philistines foreskins to take advantage of the enemies." Saul's plan was to have David, of course, fall in the hands of the Philistines, and he didn't have to do anything; just kill him. But flattering, it didn't work. Of course, we know that it didn't work as we read the passage. And look what it says right here. So let's see what it says right here. Interesting that offering Merad to David didn't work. Offering Michael to David didn't work either. Interesting. Flattering David didn't work. So Saul moves on to the next strategy, next plan. He sets a trap for David by appealing to David to bravery and in a sense of honor for his country. Of course, he tells David to David the bride price for Michael is 100 Philistines, and he goes at it. Now, this is another gruesome part of the story right here, because of course this is the times David's cutting off the heads of Goliath. Of course, in chapter 17 is a gross thing, but right here we see he wants the skins of these guys, and David have to do that. So folks, how many people is just like Saul in our world today? How many people use this kind of trap to incriminate others or to receive recognition or even to get a promotion? How many people do that in our day? Folks, I tell you, I met many along the way. They manipulate people. They manipulate systems to get what they want. I see this in corporations. I work in corporations. I see this even where I work right now with manipulation. I see this in all kinds of walks of life where the people, they're master manipulators. They keep manipulating until they get what they want. They have an agenda. Of course, we know the agenda of Saul right here is to kill David. You see, people set traps to get to others. So let's put up this. We also set traps for each other, don't we? We do it in subtle ways. We ask leading questions. We bait people into arguments. We operate with hidden agendas. But this is all wrong. Yes, it's wrong because we are not being honest. Every time we open our lips and our mouth and we're being dishonest with people, it's not right. But of course, people do it all the time. So when it comes to setting traps, I think about the Pharisees in Jesus' time. Actually, go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. Even Jesus they tried to victimize Jesus on that. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. And to verse 17, actually to verse 18. The Pharisees try to do the same thing to Jesus. They had a plan. They had a wicked plan, and they tried to get him. Look what it says. Then when the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. See? They went to Jesus with a plan. We're going to get him. Okay? Look what it says. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodias, saying, "Master, we know that thou art true, and it teaches the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? It is lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempted ye me, ye hypocrites?" You see, they came to Jesus with a mind game. They had a plan. They're going to trap him. Even Jesus, when in his earthly ministry, they had the Pharisees and the Sadducees going after him to get him so he could fail. And they said, you know, should we give it to Caesar? Look what it says, what they said right here. Therefore, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? There's a question mark there. It is lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? And look what Jesus perceived there. Wickedness. You see that? Jesus perceived how wicked was their mind, and he said, "Why you tempt me, you hypocrites?" Was a good answer? I think it was the greatest answer. I said, "You bunch of hypocrites, I know what you're here for. You don't want to hear my answer. You're here to trap me." See, this mind games, even Jesus experienced that. See, all of us, listen, we either manipulate people with our own minds, or we've been victimized by somebody. Or we witness of somebody that been victimized using somebody else. We just watched that. Listen, it is predominant in our world. It's everywhere. So even Jesus was there, and we see that those guys that shouldn't know who he was, he came to trap Jesus. So number one, we're almost done. You see the bait. Number two, we see the game. And number three, you see the protection. From verse 26 to verse 30. So backtracking in on your promise, shifting the blame, using people for your own purpose, using flattering and deceit, setting traps. These are all ways we play mind games, and we practice manipulation and deceit in our lives. So not only are they all wrong, but of course, they are ultimate self-defeating as well. Anyone who plays wicked mind games to get ahead and to hurt others will eventually run up against God. Okay? That is exactly what Saul discovered in his deceitful dealings right here. All of Saul's wicked games, manipulation, and deceit got him nowhere. You know why? Because God was with David. Yeah, God was with David. Number one, letter A, look what it says. The Lord's protection on David. The Lord's protection on David. We see this from verse 26 to verse 27. And when his servants told these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired. So David rose and went, he and his men, and slew the Philistines, 200 men. So, class, how many did Saul ask David to get? 100. How many God give to David? 200. See what God did? It's interesting here. So, can you imagine? So what happened to Saul here is this. He thought David was going to be killed by the Philistines. And when David came back with all 200, guess what happened? He got very fearful of David. Because he knew God was with him. Saul said it's a trap for David. God delivers David from a trap. When the attendants told David these things, he was pleased to become the king's son-in-law. So therefore, he allowed time elapse here. So David and his men went out to kill 200 Philistines. He brought their foreskins and presented a phone number to the king so that he might become the king's son-in-law. So Saul's wickedness plan failed, and now he is forced to give his daughter to David in marriage. Not only does God deliver David from Saul's trap, God gives David an overwhelming success in his mission. So folks, let me tell you this. It is worth trusting God. It is worth trusting the Lord. Because listen, first of all, when we trust the Lord and walk with the Lord, more than likely we can tell when people try to play mind games with us. People try to play mind games with you with scriptures. They can trap you in 2 seconds. They can knock on your door. In the name of Jesus, you open the door and they start talking about it. I tell you what, and if you are humble, if you know the Word of God, if you know your Bible, guess what? You can tell right away they're mind games. You can tell right away. You say, "Hey, you false prophets, get out of my door." But anyway, so it is interesting that David is protected by the Lord here. So let's look at letter number two, or letter B, the Lord's judgment on Saul. We see this from verse 28 to verse 30. It says, "And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal's daughter loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually." See what happened here? The sad thing is, let's look at the next verse. "And the princes of the Philistine went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by." So when Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, he became still more afraid. But unfortunately, didn't change the man's heart. He continually hated David. And you know what? He was David's enemy until he died. I tell you, folks, some people will never learn to love anyone. They will always learn to hate people. They never take time and stop and try to love people. And even the more you do for them, how much David did for him. David won many battles for this Saul, for this king, and he never saw the goodness of David. Listen, folks, there are people in our world today, their minds is continually wicked. And they keep going at it. And some of them are very successful at it. But let me tell you, we see the Lord's judgment in here. He grew more afraid of David because he knew, he saw that David, God was with David. Isn't that nice? Isn't that good when people know that God is with us? That we're walking with the Lord? It is wonderful when we see the joy of the Lord in someone. Or we see when we see people that try to get to these people and they can't get to it. But I tell you, folks, I conclude with this. Manipulation and deceit are always wrong. And the Bible tells us we should renounce all manipulative and deceitful ways. Let me tell you this, folks. We should be truthful to people. Always truthful. Honest with people. We should never manipulate people with lies. We should never do that because that's not of God. That is not of God. That is of the devil. That is wickedness. And we should never allow our mind even to go down that way. We should be truthful, honest with people, kind to people, not use people for our own plans, for our own evil ways. You see, we are to purpose truth and sincerity and honesty so that we may grow in a salvation that God gave us. Wicked mind games and manipulation shows a lack of trust in God's sovereignty, and deceit shows a lack of respect, listen to this, for God's truth. Let me repeat this. Wicked mind games and manipulation shows a lack of trust in God's sovereignty, and deceit shows a lack of respect for God's truth. Saul started right. God was with him. But Saul got too big for himself. And look what happened to Saul. He began to hate David so much that he planned, he manipulated, he tried to use people to get what he wanted. And I tell you what, praise the Lord for his protection, isn't it? Praise the Lord for his protection, that he protects us. But I tell you what, what do you do when you know somebody tried to manipulate you? What do you do when you see that somebody purposely tried to hurt you? Would try to put your name to the mud, put your name to shame? You see that. Trust the Lord. Hey, look what the Lord says. It's easy for us to try to get back and get even, but look what God says. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And that's what we need to do. You see, we see the mind games. We see the wickedness. And sometimes it comes towards us. And let me tell you, it's easy to get even and play the same mind games back and say, you want to manipulate me? I'm going to manipulate you. I'm going to give you the same thing, the same medicine you need. But you know what? Give it to God. And say, Lord, I give it to you. I'm going to trust you. And the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Let God take care of them. We know that David refused to kill Saul. And David had many opportunities to do so. And he said, I will not do that to the Lord's anointed. He did say that. And he had many opportunities to do so. You know what? God took care of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Help us, Lord. Lord, all of us have the potential to play this kind of game, to manipulate people with our words, to have an agenda and use people for our own purpose. I pray, Father, help us never to get that low, that wicked, to destroy people or destroy people's names and people's character and integrity. Lord, we see this in our day. We see this with famous people. We see this with regular folks. We see this all the time when people's names are put to the mud because of somebody's agendas. And I pray, Father, help us. Help us and protect us from those kind of people. In Jesus' name I pray.